Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is Pastor Crystal. We're here on Kingdom Ambassadors Live, the Worldwide Company of Prophetic Intercessors session is underway. It's the time for the rise and the roar. Rise and shine, guys. Rise and shine. We're going to be manifesting, innovating, and creating this morning. There's a divine warfare frequency of sons that the Father has downloaded in every one of us. And this is the hour of the resounding and the rebounding. You're not going to get a rebound if you can't make a sound. If you're not opening up your mouth and releasing what heaven has downloaded in you, there is no rebounding. The cry of the sons has been heard. If you've been crying out, if you've been in prayer, if you have connected yourself as well to units or, you know, where the Father, your tribe, you know, wherever the Father has told you to connect to make that sound corporately as well, then there is a sound that has been heard in the earth, and the Father is responding by dispatching angelic hosts, angelic agencies to your aid, even as it was so in Daniel, so it is for every son. And we're going to be diligent to stay in that place. We're going to be diligent to stay in his presence. We're going to be diligent to be in those places that he has assigned us and called us to be so that we can receive, not only that we can receive, that we can bring to the table. We can bring to the table everything that the Father has given to us to give back to him, okay? He's not asking for anything that he hasn't already given you. That's the thing that I love. When he gave me that understanding many years ago, it really just kind of blew my mind, and I had to really think about some things and think about where I've been and think about the things I've processed through. And he's really never asking you for anything he hasn't already given you. And we're talking about the children of Israel and their issue with going into promise because of what they were hearing. And this morning, that's the topic again. I mean, we're here. We're going to get back to the names of the spies, the 10 spies that had this dark psychology that changed the mindsets and the hearts of the people and wanted them to go in another direction or desired. The people began to desire what was in their heart and mind because of what they were listening to. There was fear. There was anxiety. There were all of these things about inadequacies and all of these things that had come up. And for what is the question? Because the Father had already proven to them. He had already given them a track record of his goodness. He had already given them a track record of his protection, of his defending them. He had already proven to them by bringing them out of Egypt, which is why he kept reminding them, I'm the one, I am the God that brought you out of your captivity. The issue was that even though he brought them out of captivity, they had a responsibility for an area, and that was to allow him to take the captivity out of them. They needed to agree at some point that they, one, were no longer in that captive place physically, but mentally they were going to refuse to live there. And I think that is the thing that is holding a lot of people back from their freedom, from their deliverance. Yes, he has given you a way out. He's spoken to you about a way. That's the end from the beginning that he's discussing with you. However, that process is going to require your participation, your cooperation. And without that, you're going to be in that same destination. Whether you want to be there or not, that's where you're going to remain until the things in you are changing. You know, first of all, your mindset, is changing. It's a couple topics we're going to go over today. I want to talk about the myth of manifestation. There are some myths that are attached to the conversation regarding manifestation. I want to talk about that because I think that the church is the biggest, they're the biggest perpetrator of this myth, okay? There's preparation for what's coming. You know, the Father's always processing us, preparing us for the thing. A lot of times we want to jump into things, you know, that he's talked to us about or that he's shown us. We saw some things, and so we want to jump there, but we're not willing to go through the process that it takes to get there and to be sustained in that place. We want to deal with doing things based on our own understanding. I mean, I know this sounds like a client or have an inclination to that. Old habits are hard to break. You know, old habits being broken requires dedication, discipline. It requires intentionality. It requires a regimen. And quite frankly, a lot of people are not willing to apply themselves to that regimen. If you're going to get to a thing that you're saying that you want because you've seen it in your heart, in your mind, it's something that the Father has implanted. He wants you to say it, but it's going to be more than just saying it. You cannot lean to what you believe or what you think. You're going to have to hear what his direction is on the matter. And then who's talking to you matters. You know, we want to talk a little bit about that at the end of the day. Your self-talk matters more than any talk, but if your self-talk is aligning with all the conversations that are around you that are not in alignment with what the Father is saying, then you're mirroring the wrong thing. You're mirroring the wrong thing. You know, oftentimes, you know, when the Father's speaking to us, he does use voices. Sometimes he uses the voice of our leader. Sometimes he uses our own voice. Sometimes he uses the voice of those that we love. And we're thinking that we're talking to our dead ancestors. We're really not. There's just, it's something in you that is being resonant in that moment, that the voice that is most familiar to you is being spoken to you in that voice. That doesn't mean, I don't know why I'm saying this. I think this is for somebody. Y'all stop talking to dead relatives. That's not the thing. That's not what you should be doing. We don't deal in the dead things. We do not. So don't do that, okay? Because you're likely to get a response. And when you get a response, it's not going to be who you think it is, all right? So I don't know who that's for, but, you know, take that thing and run with it. Don't talk to the dead. And if you have been, then you might need to call me sidebar, you know, when we get off the line. If you know me personally, you might need to call me, or somebody, you might need to reach out in the chat and send me your email or something, because you're going to need some stuff broken off of you because you've attached yourself to something that's creating cycles in your system, in your life. And this is one of the reasons why you're spinning out of control. One of the reasons why you can't really get a hold on some things is because you keep going back to the dead thing. Now, you will be reminded of your loved ones that have gone on before you because there are things that they've planted in you, you know. But you got to make sure of the plants as well. You better make sure that you, what you're following right now is in alignment with what the Father has already laid out, is what he's saying. I don't know. Somebody needed that this morning. I don't know where you are or who you are, but my prayer is that this morning that you stop dealing in dead things, dealing in dead things. You can remember good memories of people. You can remember the lessons that you learned. And, you know, you may even hear your next direction in a voice that is familiar to you. But please, please, by all means, do not talk to the dead. Okay? I want to open up the lines and say good morning to everybody. Good morning. Good morning. How is everybody?
Good morning.
Hey, hey. Hey, Elder, blessings to you. Good morning to everybody. Hallelujah. You guys are muted on your end, so I can't hear you. If you're saying good morning right now, I can't hear you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Prophet. Santina. All right.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, Prophet Posey. Good morning. Hallelujah. There's a couple more people on here. I guess y'all reserve good morning for the afternoon. Good morning. Hallelujah. Yeah, last morning, it was an interesting dream I was having this morning. And in the dream, there were some things that, you know, just kind of looking around in a dream, and a lot of things had changed. A lot of things were different. And I think A lot of people didn't recognize that things had changed. They were still trying to do things or go about their day as a, you know, business as usual, but there were things that were literally changed. One of the things that I noticed, and I believe this was a preparation, this was a demonstration of some kind of preparation, was that a friend of my mother's, she had this umbrella. It was like a cloth umbrella. It was real pretty. It was like a lace or something. And she had let her umbrella up, and she was kind of going across the way there, like really kind of prancing. But she went to this abandoned house. When she went to the abandoned house, she opened up the front door of the abandoned house after she unlocked it. And the door that she opened was a refrigerator door. And there was more food inside of the refrigerator of the house that she had opened. It looked like a real house. It looked like the size of a real house. But when she opened up the door, it was resembling a refrigerator. And she was taking things out. Like, it looked like she was taking the meal out for the day out of the refrigerator. And so as I was sitting there and I'm looking, and when I woke up, I was thinking, I was like, man, okay, there's a reason why she's doing this way. But so I went around the block from where she was, and it was a lot of like really different activity. I noticed that in this dream, there was a lot of things going on, but none of it came nigh me, just like the word said, but I was able to see it. Okay. And I think this has a lot to do with how we see things and how what we see affects us. So I'm thinking about the children of Israel, even as I said at that time, that they were able to see some things that had the potential, you know, under certain circumstances to impact them or affect them. But because of who they were, the Father saying, go up, you've got it. You know, I've already given them into your hands. This thing is already a done deal. You don't have to worry about it. The fight is fixed. Just go into the ring, you know, one of those kind of things. So I went around the corner and I saw this activity and I was like, wow, it's a lot of different things going on. Just a lot of negative things, you know, very visible. Whether robberies or people being beat, you know, just things that were going on. The times, you know, the nature of the times, the culture of the times was very violent, very, you know, a very vicious environment. And so came back around the block and I was going the other way. I wound up in this building and I went outside the back of the building, go outside. I was going to walk, I guess, to my grandmother's house, which is always her house somehow in my dreams. And it was a lot of activity that way. You know, I saw people just looting and doing things. And then I saw this person being chased by this group of people. It was just, it was interesting. So I came back in. I said, oh, that's not a good way to go. I'll come back in and identify what my direction is here. When I came back in, there was this couple and they had this little girl, and the woman was real bougie like, and she was trying to set up this situation where the child could see, you know, what was going on or whatever. And I was trying to explain to her, you know, it's just kind of like a business as usual. What she was functioning from was a place like, we're in the hood, and so I really want her to see what hood life is like or whatever, like as if it was normal, like she's saying. Now, she was our people, but she was like these people, kind of, you know, like using it as some kind of study or whatever. And I was trying to explain to her, ma'am, don't take your daughter out there. Things are not as they, you know, as you think they are. Things are not as they've been. Somehow there was a disconnect in her brain. She thought that things were the same, but things had drastically changed. And so I was just, you know, sharing with her just out of concern for the child, mentally and emotionally, you know, protect her. That's the best you can do right now, is to protect her from seeing certain things, if at all possible. And she was like, oh no, I, you know, she was really adamant about, she had to show her child these things. And, you know, I was like, okay. So I went on about my business. Anyway, the person that owned the building, the owner of the facility, as I was walking out the front door, was coming behind me. Like, what is it? Like, they were trying to get from me. Like, what do you see? What's going on? And they kind of trekked on the journey with me. As we were on this journey, there were things happening all around us. And there was this animal. I don't know if it was a cat, dog, or what it was, but the animal was not, it was not its natural self. And I was looking at him and I was saying, my point, you know, like, just, I want you to look at what I'm, you know, look at this. And he was like, wow, like, what is that? I said, don't know. But it looks like it's got cat attached to it, but I don't know. And so the thing was following me, and I kept telling it, you know, to go away. At some point, it did leave. When I said, listen, go, you know, and the thing walked off. But we were in these different environments on the way to where I was going, and it was just like proof after proof that this was not the same world. It was not the same world. I remember needles, these needles. These were sewing needles, though. It was like a package of needles. I remember him trying to buy this comforter for a bed, and a guy said some outrageous price. And I was like, get out of here, you know. But I remember him sitting on the ground. He wasn't paying attention. And one of the things I was telling him was to pay attention, kind of plop down on the ground somewhere, holding a conversation. But he got up, and he was like itching all over, like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, and I was like, dude, I told you to pay attention to what you're doing and where you're sitting. I don't know what you got going on, but you need to be more observant. Things have changed. And so when I woke up, just bits and pieces of the dream that I remember, one of the things that came to my mind was the preparation for things that are to come, but also who's talking to you matters. Now, where the who's talking to you matters part came from was the fact that a lot of people are going to wind up in places or positions that they don't, you're not going to want to be there when things hit the fan. So there's a reason why the Father's leading his people a certain way. There's a reason why he's talking to us about specific things. And it's so funny to me because in the last month or so, people have been saying things and then I was led to say certain things back to them. And one of the responses that I had been getting over the last month or so was they weren't sure of that. Well, I don't even remember what I said to them, which lends me to completely understand it wasn't me talking, it was the Holy Spirit, it wasn't me, because I don't remember what the conversations were about. But I just remember people keep saying, oh, you know what, I don't know, I don't know, or I'm not sure. Those things kept coming up. And so I think yesterday, that's what came up when I was saying something. I was like, who do you think I am? You know what I'm saying? Like, as sons, we got to identify who one another are, because when we can identify who each other are, we can identify who's speaking to or through, you know, the vessel that you're connected to or that you're listening to. And so we often want to say that we're connected to people, but when it comes down, like, people that are want to do their own thing or want to do their, you know, have things their way, they like yes people. I'm dealing with leaders now. They like yes people. So if you're not a yes person, they don't really want you in their crew, but they don't need yes people. They need people that's going to say, you're going the wrong way. Like, no, that's not, you know, that doesn't look right. You know, or what does that mean? You know, people that are going to ask questions, because asking questions keeps people accountable. You got to be able to answer. And so that thing about who's talking to you matters took me back to the dark psychology of the 10 spies and how they were having this conversation in the midst of the congregation with, you know, these children of Israel, and it actually prevented them from going into the promised place. And they were listening to the voices. They were listening to the voices because they were leaders. They were leaders. And so being mindful of who you're connected to and what you're connected with, everything, because remember, the head leader said, we're going to the promise. Then the leaders that are closest to him, his right-hand man is saying, we're going to promise. Matter of fact, his right-hand man and Caleb were like, we're going up. They were two of the spies. It was 12 of them all together, two of the spies. They came back and said, no, we can do this. We can follow this instruction. This is an instruction that we need to follow. This is our time. And everybody else was saying, I don't know about all that. You know, or finding excuses to stay where they were. Be very mindful of that in this season. Things are changing. Things are changing all around us. And there are signs of that change. Some of the symptoms of change, and I was talking to somebody I love very dearly yesterday who was sharing some things about their grandchild. There are symptoms of the change that are happening all around us. I'm looking at things in my own grandchildren, and I'm putting measures in place or things in place now where it's like, no, we need a little bit more control over some of these areas, you know. And a lot of times people think that as children are getting older, then they should have more freedom. I think that as they're getting older, they need to be watched more because you don't know what's been watching them. You don't know what monitoring spirits have been monitoring them, waiting on an opportunity to take them in some direction. So this is not a time, because they're older, to push them off into the corner or allow them to go and duck off and hide in your house and do what they want to do so that you can have space or freedom. This is a time to pay very close attention to what's going on with them. The older they get, the more they need to be watched. Until they are released from a place, they're going to need tutors and governors. Until they're released to be on their own as adults, they're going to need tutors and governors until they're released from that place to be able to take on the responsibilities that life of their own lives. They're going to need to be monitored. You know, it's not a time. And I think it was a funny thing, because sometimes people are like, well, you know, you really got close tabs on them. Yeah, I got close tabs on them because they've been through some stuff, and I need to see what's working in them. I need to see what's operating in them. I need to identify those things so I can iron them out before they are released on the world. Okay? And so, like I said, the older they get, the more attention they need. And I believe that that is the whole process that we've been going through. When you think about the Hebrew children as well, they were in this wilderness place, but they were getting a lot of attention. He didn't leave them to themselves. It took me back to, you know, what I said the other day about leadership, how the master led the blind man, that one blind man, out of the city. He had to take him out of the familiar place. He took him by the hand and take him outside of the city. It's the same thing with all good leaders in this season. We're trying to walk people through processes. We're taking you by the hand, trying to walk you through processes. Well, if you deny the walking through that process, there's nothing that we can do about that but just leave you to your own devices, okay? Whatever that looks like, it looks like at the end of the day, we've got to be very aware of what's speaking to us, you know, about leaning to our own understanding, about allowing ourselves to be prepared for what's coming. And you'll only be prepared if you're able to hear. The preparation is not just gathering things, but it's gathering the intel that's going to give you what you need to be in the position to identify. You know, like it can be startling if something has sprung up on you. But if you had a heads up, then you're more aware of a thing. You don't have to be startled by it or, you know, caught off guard. You know, you're not caught unaware of something if you're told it ahead of time, if you can hear it ahead of time. And that's the key. So I want to open the line up for a minute. I'm going to let you guys share, and then we're going to start out with manifestation, because that's one of my pet peeves of the century is this conversation or this mentality around manifestation.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Elder.
God is so good.
He is
good. Grateful to be here today. And I did something I haven't done in a while. As you were talking, I was jotting down some things.
Awesome.
One, about this dream when you were saying about the woman opened up a refrigerator and it was, you know, if
she opened
I got
up
it
a
right,
house, an abandoned house, and it was a refrigerator.
But she said it looked like a refrigerator with food.
Yes, it was a refrigerator when she opened it.
And she was pulling out food for preparation. But
mm-hmm.
when you said that part, it took my mind to, and then as you were going on with it, it took my mind that regardless of whatever the situation is going on, God is still going to provide for his.
Absolutely.
And that's where I feel that with even over the house, it seemed like a refrigerator, the food. Like if you go back to, what is it, with Joseph, he was
mm-hmm.
over Egypt, and the way he was set up with his life, he ended up being the one that provided in the time of famine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was when you were saying something about the talking, and then you said, who do you think I am?
Mm-hmm.
It took me to a conversation. I ran into an old friend yesterday, and a friend that we used to do some things together, you
mm-hmm.
know, in our times of, I'm going to say darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a great reunion because we both were talking about the word. I'm not sure if she's on the line or not today. I invited her in. And then I showed her the website, but then I also sent the number about 7:30 this morning because I didn't get to send her the number yesterday. So it took me to that about who do you think I am. And what I'm learning is that you can tell a person from the conversation.
Yeah.
Because years ago, the conversation we both had yesterday was nothing like that years ago. It was a whole nother cipher. And then the other thing when you were saying about our children.
Yeah.
You know, even though, and I agree with you about the keeping a hold on our kids. Because even, I don't know about nobody else, but I know I'm 65. And even I sometimes now need to be my coattail pulled, you know. And I just told my...
Uh-oh. I got you, Elder. Hold on. Go ahead.
What happened?
No, you're okay. Go ahead. You just told. Go ahead.
It's having love.
I was trying to get that.
And even still, God protects his, corrects his own.
Yes, he does.
So, you know, that's, me personally, that's not a limit on age. And even when I was going to Shallow all the time, before those kids went off to school, Pastor called them all up and prayed over them kids. Because once you put those kids go out into this world, they're going to come into all kinds of atmospheres, situations, you know, and everything else. So even when they're released out there, we still have to keep them covered because even us, we need coverage of each other. So, you know, I don't think there's an age number on that situation at all. That's what I was saying. We as adults, we still need to pay attention. And through our own experiences now, some things we know from experience. So we can identify with things more so when the younger ones going out where they've never... Well, some of them, because some of these young ones, they done been through the mill more than what some of us older ones have been, you know, with raising themselves and, you know, whatever the situation has been because of their parents still caught up in the situation. So all that, that's what I was getting from some of the things as far as what I was getting from what you were saying.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Come on, the line is open. Muted a couple of your lines. Somebody moving about. If you're moving about, make sure you mute yourself because the mics, it's funny how the mics pick up all that movement. But sometimes when we're talking, you can't hear each other, you know. But they're picking up that movement, though. They're picking up that movement. The door, the line is still open. Wherever that is that's moving about, you're still moving. You need to mute your line. So that we don't hear you moving on this end. The line is open. Good morning, good morning. Come on and share this morning. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What's on your mind this morning? What is on your mind? Well, while I'm waiting on people to respond to that, I'm going to go to the myth of manifestation. This was really a thing for me this morning. Really yesterday it started. And, you know, there is this idea that if we say it, if we just say it, then that's enough to manifest it. Well, there's still a responsibility even after you say it. The responsibility is, and kind of hit on this, is to follow whatever path or whatever the directions are. So, for instance, I'm going to use preparation for a party. You want to have a party, you want to throw a celebration for someone. So you say, I'll throw you a party. I believe you should have the greatest celebration that you've ever had, right? Okay. You said it. But now you're going to have to go and start resourcing or researching balloons and all of the things. First of all, you have to have a vision for the party. You know, what's the vision for this party? Is there a theme for the party? All these things are going to need to be written down. And after you identify the vision or the theme for the party, then you're going to go need to research where to find the items that are going to make the party this vision, right? After you identify where, now you're going to have to make a purchase of those items to bring them to where you are. You're going to have a venue, whatever that venue is, whether it's your house or another location. You're going to have to pay for that location if it's outside of your house. That venue is going to have to be prepared for the party. That means a date has to be set, right? Invitations have to go out, okay? Meals have to be planned, whether you're catering or whether you're cooking, you know. Cake have to be bought, whatever it is. All of these things are now responsibilities that have to be taken in order for this thing to happen. So sure, manifestation is, it begins with some things, but first it begins with what you're seeing in your head, in your heart, inside of you. It's not an outside job before it's an inside job. So first of all, it's something you're going to have to be convinced of in order for it to happen. But once you are convinced of this thing and you begin to have a conversation about it, now you're going to need to put legs to it. And I think a lot of us have battled with this area because of the fraudulent teaching. We battled with that area of manifestation because we were taught something completely different than what it was. So we were just trying to name it and claim it. The new thing is blab it and grab it. That's not how that works, okay? You can say it, but after you say it, you better see it. Better see it so you can begin to manifest it. Not seeing it as in physical, but seeing it as in spiritual so you can have an image of what that thing is and then begin to actualize the image, okay? So we're not just having a conversation about things. You know, when we talk about prayer and interceding and all of these things, it'd be one thing to say, honey, we need to pray. But the other thing is to get on and do it, you know? I said all the time, people have sending things in my box about praying for them, and these people have been on this line before. They know where I am. You know how to find me. You don't need to isolate me to an inbox, come out, pray for me or pray with me. Get your butt on the line, you know? Connect yourself in a way that is relational, and then you'll be in the company of people that are in prayer. And we won't isolate these incidences. You know, people like to isolate things. Like, okay, we need to pray about that thing over there. Before we do this, we need to pray. Well, if your lifestyle is that of prayer, then you're just being led things. You don't have to, oh, well, let me see. Is this, you know, I don't know. It's not like a lucky charm. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's not a, you know, and when we're talking about, you know, covering people, we're not talking about just that thing where they're walking out the door and we're just having a prayer. That's not what Elder's talking about. Covering people means, from a spiritual standpoint, you are their covering, not just when you're saying a prayer, but when you're giving them directions, okay? When you're giving them instructions, when the Holy Spirit is giving you wisdom about situations because you've been through certain things, all of that is about covering. It's about leading. It's about directing, not just a prayer. So she's just simply talking about how they would just, you know, had that time of fellowship, and really that time was really more so for the kids than it was for the grown-ups, because they need to understand how to function in this way, you know, to be led and to lean to the understanding of divine things versus, you know, just walking out into the world with nothing, you know, just doing whatever. You know, everything has its purpose, but at the end of the day, we're not covering them just because we took their hand and prayed. We're covering them because we're doing the whole thing. You know, and this is what she was sharing, that, you know, believing that we do need to pay more attention to them the older that they get, not just leaving them to themselves. But that comes with instruction, direction, all of that. You know, prayer leads us to practical things. You know, prayer leads us to truth. It leads us to revelation, understanding. When we get that revelation, understanding, it's a practical movement that has to happen. It's not just, I'm going to throw these words out there and these words are going to just be good. No, them words have to come from somewhere. So if inside of you, you're fearful, then those words are coming out of fear. So are they covered? If the words that you speak are fearful words, are they covered? They wouldn't be covered then, right? So it needs to be a confidence in your conversation, you know, because you're more so dictating as a son of Yah on the earth, as a governor, as one who's managing the affairs of the kingdom in the earth. You're actually a dictator of sorts of what's going to take place concerning those that you're connected to. You know, I'm making a declaration. This is a decree, you know. And once you make a declaration or a decree, you don't have to keep re-decreeing it. It is what it is. You can reinforce it by other means, by how you function, by how you move. And then it all becomes a thank you. Father, we thank you that protection is our portion. You know, this is what you declared concerning your son. Not every morning, well, protect him like he's forgot what he's going to do, like he forgot what he said, what he promised. He hasn't forgotten what he promised. The question is, do you remember it? You know, do you remember it? If you remember the promise, then you don't have to keep reminding him of the promise because he remembers it. It's just about you knowing the promise and being thankful for being there, for that thing being in place and for him being faithful concerning it, because he's never going to not be faithful concerning his promise. Never. The line is open. You can jump in at any time while I'm going through these things. I think I hit on most of it, though. This whole mentality about doing things based on our understanding, I have to go back to Numbers chapter 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yep. As you were talking about fear, you know, I thought about this book that I had, that I actually still have it, but I got it, I don't know how long ago. The book was called Armed and Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it dealt with, like, you know, you were talking about fear, and the first thing that came to my mind is God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind.
Yes.
And that book is like whatever situation, like if you were dealing with fear, anger, whatever, it gave you a bunch of scriptures that dealt with that issue. And I was just thinking, you know, yeah, if you armed with the word, you know what I'm saying, that's what we're supposed to be armed with, armed and dangerous. If we armed and we walking in the word like we're supposed to, you know, we'll have what we need. But that was just a thought as you were talking about that fear. Are you still there? Hello?
Yeah, so that book you said is called Armed and Dangerous?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
Any, like, anxiety, anything, you know, issues, it gave you scriptures to support, you know, what the word says about those things. I don't know what happened to Apostle.
Me either. Elder, you on here still?
I guess we got dropped off.
I'm here. I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe. The line is still here, but that's maybe I don't know.
Maybe she muted or something. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so. Yeah, that, you know, and it's so important because we need the word. We need the word. We need his word to apply it to those things, whatever we're dealing with, you know. And the scripture talks about hiding the word in your heart. You know, if the word is hidden in your heart, whatever is hidden, it's going to come up. You know what I'm saying? Like when she talked about fear, the first thing that came up was scripture. What does the word say about that situation? And that's how we have to be ready, you know, be armed to, okay, the enemy is doing this. What word do I have to fight with? Because his word is That's the weapon, you know? Like, you know, when Jesus was dealing with on the mount, you know, when Satan had led him up to tell him to cast himself down, you know, because, you know, it's written that God will give his angels charge over you, you know. The Lord, you know, said that man, you know, he came back with the word and what the word said about what Satan was trying to tell him to do. And that's how we got to, you know, we have to be the same way to know, you know, that we standing on the word and what word do we have to fight with about what is being told to us or said to us or whatever emotion we're feeling. You know, sometimes our emotions, you know, we got to deal with that. You know, today I'm feeling whatever, but what does the word say? And then we have our weapon is praise. Praise is a weapon. We can fight with praise and worship. You know, if you feel in a certain way, put on some music. Put on this worship music. That lifts your spirit as well.
Biggest weapon.
Pardon me?
Yeah, that worship is the biggest weapon.
Yeah.
You say praise yourself through it. Praise yourself
right.
Through it. Yes,
because I thought about, you know, when I was dealing with my mom was, you know, I'm dealing with my dad now and his cancer.
I'm just
but when I dealt with,
wasn't hearing nothing. I said, but
no,
go
no.
I was on mute the whole time. Like, why did I?
Like, where is she?
I'm right here. Go ahead, Prophet, and then I'll jump in because I was going to say
yeah,
something about
Yeah, I was
praise,
just saying, you know, when I was dealing with my mom, you know, I was running back and forth from Kansas to Michigan every week. I would leave on
mm-hmm.
a Tuesday or a Wednesday and fly
mm-hmm.
back, you know. My mom's like, you're here
mm-hmm.
every week. But when I would go home, I would constantly, even in her hospital room, I would play worship music, you know, because sometimes I would feel like her, you know, she was like, she would be agitated, like, they're coming in
mm-hmm.
here all the time, and I'm like, your spirit is not right. Let's put some worship music on, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you can't fight these people that are trying to help you, you know. So, and
mm-hmm.
and when I would go home, I would put the word on. I would sleep
mm-hmm.
with the word on because
yes.
I needed that. I needed it in my
yeah.
spirit. I would sleep. You know, I would go to sleep with this word on, and it
mm-hmm.
helped me. It helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Helped me make
Absolutely.
It through what I was fighting through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I wanted to say, I mean, definitely take advantage of the things that we have available to us. However, we have to be very mindful that if for any reason we don't have access to the music that we put on, we better have some inside of us.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, because I wake
because
up with it in my heart.
Listen.
It's in
yeah,
my heart. I hear music
day,
all the
that's
time.
That's right. At the end of the day, worship is not necessarily the music. It's the person that's going through that process. You know what I'm saying? Music can be uplifting. We know that because David had to play for Saul. But even when we're listening to music, we got to be very mindful of what we're listening to. Does it just make us feel emotional, or is it actually leading us into his presence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be mindful of all of those things, because just because a thing is popular, this ain't for us, but maybe for somebody else. Just because a thing is popular don't make it worship, you know? So we just have to be mindful of, again, it goes right back to who's talking to us. You know, what's talking to us matters. Who's talking to us matters. Because sometimes things are popular, and because they are popular things, we think that it's a good thing. Not a good thing just because it's popular. Sometimes it's a negative, you know. And worship always is discussing his person, you know. So that's an intimate thing. You know what I mean? It's a very intimate place. It's a very intimate position. Good morning, everybody. I hear a man's
Good
voice
morning.
On the line. Bless you.
Yeah. Thank you. And you're right. It's an intimate place. And that intimate place is a sacred place. And the
it
sacred
is.
Place is underneath your feelings.
It
that's
is,
the sacred
sir.
Place. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are not your feelings.
Has nothing to do with feelings.
No, but the feelings is the exterior of ourselves. So if something's causing us to, in the sacred place where we practice doing the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when we got people down here in the sacred place and they're immature because they don't know how to do it the right way, you know what I'm saying? So they profane the sacred place.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a challenge to keep yourself cool, calm, and collective through an ordeal as such when you're staying out of the way, because God bless you with a sound mind, and that sound mind is meant for these people outside of yourself. So love can do something. Love is an action. So let's get busy.
It is. Yeah, and you may feel something from that, but it's not the reverse. It's not I'm doing something because I feel something. And for too long, the church has perpetrated that on the people. You know, it's worship because you feel something. No, it's worship because you're intentional about whom you're talking to, whom you're addressing, and the purpose of which you're approaching. You know, it's all of that is intentional and purposeful. Now, I may have some feelings out of that because in his presence, there's a fullness of joy, see? But it's not fullness of joy, then I'm going into his presence. It's in his presence. There's fullness of joy. In his presence, there's pleasure. Evermore.
Yeah.
Not I'm pleasured, so I'm worshiping. No, I've got to get to a place. I'm going into a place, you know.
Mm.
That's really good.
Yeah, and, when you get that satisfaction, because it's guaranteed all the time, God doesn't mess
guaranteed.
Around. He gives it to you all the time. You know, his presence is consistent all the time.
It is.
And if that's the way it is, then everything is holy unto him. Remember, it's holy.
It is.
The
it's
Holy
whole.
Bible. Yeah, the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God, we eat that. That's holy.
Mm-hmm.
That goes inside of us and cleans up all the stuff that we were listening to where we were confused, we didn't understand. Now the Holy Spirit gives you understanding. Look, when you can hear God speaking to you, because remember, the Word of God is written on them pages. There's more that's being said than what's written there. And that's your spiritual food, because he gives you the teaching. He teaches you the difference between right and wrong. Man can't do that. Man's perverted.
That's
when he opens his mouth, he's been eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he don't got no truth there until God teaches him, hey, let me teach you how this works, okay? You don't take my word out of context when you're teaching people, because when you teach people, you mess it all up. If you listen to me, then when you open your mouth, I'll put words that are godly wisdom in your mouth.
Yeah.
So when they go out of your mouth, they go inside of someone else, and it goes inside of them. That's like throwing a hot coal on top of their head, because God said, don't get all mad at them. And I'm like, okay. He goes, just humble yourself, you know. Stop judging everything that comes out of their mouth. Let me take care of that. And you just speak the truth in love. I made it easy for you to do it. I'm like, okay.
It's simple. It's simple. It really is. It's simple. And love just produces that, you know?
Yeah.
Love produces that. And it's a beautiful transaction every time that it happens that way. It's just a beautiful transaction. Man, appreciate
that.
Where are you calling from?
This is California right here, West Coast.
Okay, Cali. We appreciate
you
being
on
this morning. I love it.
I
love it. I got up this morning,
and just like every day, right? I'm walking in God's love. And I'm just glorifying God. Just glorifying God when I wake up, man. Hey,
that's it. That's it.
Yeah. If you can't enjoy that, I don't know what's your problem. You know what I mean?
I don't know what the problem is, sir. What is the issue here?
Hey, look at this. We gotta love him anyway. You know what I'm saying?
You know, you're missing something. If you can't understand that, you're missing something. Man, I appreciate that. What's your name?
I'm gonna give you my stage name, because you know I'm just stepping out on the world stage. So I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there. It's Way Busy.
Way Busy. Okay, Way Busy.
All right.
We way too busy for dark things, right? We way too busy. Way too busy.
No, it's not too busy. It's just way busy. I shortened it down. It was originally way busy praising God, but then I thought that was too much, so I just chopped it down to way busy. And then you all figure out you all can figure out the praising God part as you get to know me, you know, and that is.
That's awesome. Welcome. Absolutely.
I'm gonna mute myself, so don't worry. I'll mute myself.
Okay, cool. The line is still open, guys. You can share. We're gonna get back to. I think I love the beauty of this because, you know, as we're talking about not skipping steps, as we're talking about processing through a thing, you know, I love how the Father just kind of we initially started out with the conversation because he took me back to the psychology of the dark spies, that thing that I had written many years ago and shared. But going back to that, he said, I need you to stop and I need you to lay some more foundation, because when we're done laying the foundation and understanding what the Father's really saying to us, then when we look at this thing again, we're going to be able to identify in our own personal lives those areas where something else is speaking to us about what the Father is saying to us. There's always going to be something that's trying to have a conversation. You know, the adversary is going to be trying to have a conversation about what the Father said to you, you know. And, you know, like he's saying, it goes back to who you think I am. At the end of the day, when you don't know who you're connected to, when you don't understand who you're connected to, clearly the children of Israel didn't understand who Moshe was. No matter what he had already done, no matter what had already been proven, they still felt like they needed him to prove something for some reason. It was the same thing with the Father. They still felt like the Father was on trial. He's the same one that brought you out of Egypt. He's not on trial. He doesn't need to prove himself. Moshe is the same person that was going to the Father on your behalf because you were foolish and you weren't thinking straight and you wasn't getting it together. And that was the same leader that laid on his face, you know, even after the Father said he wanted to kill all of y'all. It's just the same guy. Now, he might not have never told y'all that, but that's why he was really pissed off when he got to that last rock situation. And he did what he did the way that he did it because he was like, y'all are rebels. But the Father told you that a little while ago, you know. And so at the end of the day, it's really important that we identify who we're dealing with. I want to bring up this scripture real quick because this is really important. There's a verse of scripture that discusses for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. I want to go to that because the reason why that's a thing is because people are not discerning the body. And what is the body? The body of the sons. The body is the body of the of believers, the ecclesia. There's no discernment. There is no identification. And so when we can't identify the body, when we cannot identify the parts of the body, who the body is, what the body is bringing, when we can't identify that, there's going to be sickness. There's going to be weakness. There's going to be all of these things that prevent us from from receiving and actualizing and living out the fullness of that divine life that the Father has already declared concerning us, because we're not able to hear, because we cannot see. That particular verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to go to that real quick, and we're just going to back up maybe a verse or so. Let me see if I can back it up. Let me back it up just a verse or so. Y'all know I like to read things in context, but you can go read this on your own time. And, you know, this is Paul having a conversation about, you know, about the fellowship, about what people call communion. It's really not. It's a supper. But when you look at the supper, you have to look at the supper that the master had with his sons, you know, with his disciples before he left. What was that about? It was about sharing. It was about having a conversation about what was to come. It was a very prophetic place, okay? There was a place where direction and instruction was being given for a thing that was to come. And this is a very important place when people cannot identify. I'm trying to get to it, but for some reason it's taking me somewhere else. Let me go here. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got it. All right. It talked about the selfishness of why people were coming together. Some of them were just coming to eat. They hadn't eaten. Others of them were taking advantage of things And he was saying, this is not the purpose that we've come together. The purpose that we came together, and then he begins to talk about how the master did what he did with his disciples. This is how this went. And so this is what we need to emulate, okay? And so when we get down here, talking about for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not concerning the Father's body, not concerning the Lord's body, the master's body, not concerning that, not considering that, not discerning it. A lot of times we're thinking about communion as in how they taught us how communion works. You know, you come up, you get this cup, you drink the cup. Oh, if you've sinned or if you've done this or that or the other thing, then, you know, you need to examine yourself. Examining yourself is a daily thing. It's not just before you, you know, partake of something. That's a daily thing. But that's, man, the act of the fellowship is what Paul is dealing with here, which was what the master was dealing with his disciples. It was a fellowship. It wasn't a moment of, you know, let's take communion. You know, the Catholic Church turned it into communion. We know communion means fellowship, but the Catholic Church turns everything into stuff that it's not. And so the church follows those protocols, and then they're wondering why things aren't working. At the end of the day, this conversation about not being able to discern the body is talking about us not being able to discern one another. You know, the Bible says a lot of different things about relational dynamics. One of them is know those that labor among you, right? Those are things that you're commanded to do. Why is he saying know them? Because he said, my sheep know my voice. So if you know his voice, then you'll know when he's speaking through someone. Now, you may not want to hear what they have to say because it makes you responsible for something. That's a whole other situation, you know. But you can't throw off on or project on other people your irresponsibility as a reason why you're not hearing them. That's something you have to deal with, okay? That's something you're going to have to deal with because you're going to have to know the voice. When the Father is speaking through people, he can use whatever he wants to use in creation. If he uses the bird outside your window, he'll use it. In Balaam's day, he used a donkey, right? He may use your pet. You know how pets are very sensitive to specific things? So if there's a storm coming or there's something going on in the environment, you'll notice your dog is pacing or running in circles or something's going on with the animal. Why? Because they're sensitive to spiritual things. They're sensitive to things, and they're identifying some things. So you can ignore the dog, or you can try to find out what's going on with it. You know, like there's something going on. In the jungle, this happens all the time. You'll notice when you're watching those flicks, those nature flicks, that something's coming, something's getting ready to happen, and you'll notice all the animals are going south. They're moving. You know, they're moving out because something's coming, you know. So we have to be mindful of these things and be able to be attentive. That's a simple thing on a basic level, you know, a basic natural level concerning the animals or concerning creation. But how much so is the Father desirous for us to be discerning of one another, paying attention to one another? And, you know, again, that thing, even the thing about having a spirit of discernment has been taken way beyond what it needs to be taken as. Now we're suspicious instead of discerning. Suspicion and discernment are two different things.
Can I say something on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because discernment to me means that brain, where it's connected to your central nervous system,
mm-hmm.
where you're looking at your mind's eye, where mm-hmm. where you know, the spirit mm-hmm. is showing you stuff when you're looking at different situations concerning
That's
other
right.
people and yourself and everything. And mm-hmm. so if you're listening, then you'll get that where you're eating, you know, from the tree of
mm-hmm.
life, which is supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And remember what
mm-hmm.
God does. He's so
mm-hmm.
wonderful. This is what he did. In the beginning of his ways, before there was even a particle of dust, he
mm-hmm.
possessed wisdom, and wisdom is a her. And she was
mm-hmm.
God's helpmeet in the beginning
mm-hmm.
of his ways. So we get wisdom from his word, and this is beautiful, right? Amen?
Yes.
Yes, we get wisdom from his
yes.
word, but it doesn't stop there. See, what you're talking about
not.
Today in the 21st century is that God is the only one that can give us understanding of that wisdom.
That's right.
Right. So when we're speaking the truth in love, That's what it's going to show up as, godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. We have worldly
That's
leaders
right.
today, but God is raising up some spiritual leadership, and this is where I come in. And I recognize this. I would never put myself in a position like this on the worldwide stage. I would never do it. And I'm very cautious of how I take the word of God and how it's applied, you know, to people out here in the 21st century. Because when I go back in the word, this is the Spirit taking me back over 2,000 years and showing me what happened when there was time. Because you remember something, in God's love for you today, there is no end time. There is no end times in his love, okay? Everything is, it's like this. Yeah,
Perpetual.
It's like this. God takes everything out of the way so that his presence in your life takes care of everything. So when you look back at yourself, you know, when you lived in the world, planet here, you were in your flesh body. You weren't illuminated yet, so you were in the spiritual darkness. Now, that darkness that you lived in, how dark was it when you lived in the world without the flesh? What were you doing and all that? Well, listen, the darkest negative becomes the brightest picture of his
the
love. So you could see yourself. And when you could see yourself, then you could see other people. That's the way it
works. That's right. That's how discernment works. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that love comes from the sensitivity because I've been there. You know, one of the things that, even if I haven't been addicted to drugs, there's some level of addiction somewhere, you know, that would lend me to understand that you're struggling. You know, this may not be who you are, but you're in a place of struggle. So I can be sensitive to the struggle. I can be sensitive to you in this moment because I remember I've been in a place, you know, and that's discernment. You know, that's discerning. That's the sensitivity. Now, there are people that the Holy Spirit will cause us to discern. That's not something you want to fool with. And you pay attention to that, too, because we're not the only race here. You know, just like in Noah's day, you know, there's us and then there's them. Okay, there's us and then there's the giant in many different forms. Okay, many different forms. They don't take on the same form that they did in Noah's day. They've perfected their technology a little better now, okay? And so as sons, we need to understand that our technology has also been upgraded. And that's why as this end is here, you know, the sons of the end are the greatest sons that have ever been. And that sounds far-fetched, but even the master said even greater work will you do because I'm moving out your way so you can get it done. I'm getting out the way. You go ahead and get it done. I'm going to move just so you can do what you were born to do. I've given you the example of how to walk in the earth suit. Now walk it out. You know, you got on your suit, walk it out. You know,
it's practicing.
Practice it. Absolutely.
Yeah, because remember God, he spoke, right? Well, and we came from the mind of God. And God's mind and his heart are connected. So he's whole. He's whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he does. The power of God comes upon us. And that's what he does. He makes us whole because we're in his presence now. And if we're in his presence, he consumed everything that's not of him so that we
can
have that kind of a relationship where it's called face-to-face. Like when you praise God because you know he's good, you praise God when you praise God over anything. You're just like praising God.
Everything, right?
That blesses him, and he smiles upon you, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be?
Won't you be my neighbor, buddy?
And think of your fellow man. Lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place.
Listen, if you can't hear the scripture, hear the songs this morning, okay?
I'm on fire. You got me on fire over here. I listen to you. And you got to expect this. You got to expect this to happen. When you're up here talking like this to people like this, and there's going to be a reflection because somebody's reflecting what you're projecting. And guess what?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. When you open up your heart like this, that light, the property of that light, which is Christ in you, that light shines into the minds and hearts, and they become illuminated.
Yeah.
And God gets to have a relationship with these people, and you're just like, glory, glory. What?
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. Listen, were you on when I was sharing about the dream? How did you feel about that?
I just came in on that, and I didn't hear a lot of that, so I was just picking up.
You have to go back to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to go listen to it. Because I'd love to hear.
You sound like you might be my sister. Are you my sister?
I am. Yeah, we're related.
Oh my goodness.
We are related. For sure. We are related. That's for sure.
I'm telling you, man.
We got the same daddy. We got the same daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and wisdom
right.
is our mother. What? Yep.
That's right. And we're in God's custody now. Since God takes full custody of his kids, you know, we can't go wrong. We can only go right from here on out, you know. It's bright. Sometimes I wake up and you ever woke up sometimes and, like, you know, things ain't working so good as far as you can see, looking out your two eyeballs, you see all these situations
and
everything.
Yeah, from what you think, right.
But you don't live like that, you know. You live a spiritual life, which is up here on the mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A spiritual mountain.
We live from
but
the high place, not from the low place.
But we got to come down. We got to come down off that spiritual mountain down here where people are, because God's doing an amazing, wonderful work down here in the valley. You know what I'm saying?
He is.
So we got to be
the God of the
mountain
and of the valley.
Yeah, man. And the valley is cool though, because we get to lift him
it
up,
is.
You know, and say. We get to look up what God be saying, you know what I mean? And people be looking at us like, you crazy. And I go, I ain't crazy. I'm in love, baby. Come on.
Right.
You know?
Now, you know what? This speaks to that thing that you just mentioned speaks to something we were talking about yesterday. And so I want to bring Prophetess Posey to this position mentally. The valley, that's another picture of what the valley looks like, because we've already lived in the valley personally. Now we live in the high place, right? But we still come to the valley because there are other people that are living in the valley that we got to live, right? So that's the joy of the valley. Remember maybe about a couple weeks ago, when I was saying that just because it's the valley doesn't make it negative. The valley and the mountain are both positive because he's with us, no matter whether we're in the valley or in the mountaintop. He's with
us. Hold on a second. One more very important thing, just to put some light on this. When you're in the valley, right, you think it's all wonderful. It is wonderful because this is where God's working, right? This is where God called you to do this amazing, wonderful work in his love for you.
Yeah.
And that faith, that faith that God gave you when you're walking in his love, that's the faith that God gave you at work in your life of obedience to what he says, because what he says demands that you listen to him and not what man thinks that God is saying to you. So
when people
in the valley, they have themselves esteemed up here where you are spiritually, and you're thinking, whoa, and God says, no, hold on a second. I'll lift you up in due time to where they think they are, and then when you're speaking to them, they have to go down because every knee has to bow. And I'm talking about this pride issue that's in the 21st century. That stuff is going to bow down because pride doesn't want to bow down to humiliation. But we know that if you want to go down, down is how you go up, because we live our lives upside down. So the sky's the limit, and there's no limit to what you can be in Christ, because everything is possible for those who believe, and your actions follow what you believe.
That's right. And he's the one that's given us what to believe. He's given us all of our emotions, everything that's in us is what he's put in us. That's a download, you know. That's the desire. He gives us what to desire in our heart. You know, he leads
beautiful.
Us into
Come
those
on,
proper
girl.
Desires so that we can have what it is he's saying we should have. And one of the things we were talking about earlier, and I say this all the time, is that he's never asking anything of us that he hasn't given us, and that's the beauty of the relationship. You know, he's only asking us for what he's already given us. It was the same way with the children of Israel in the wilderness. He said, let them make me a place. I want them to make me a place. It's one of my favorite verses. Let them prepare me this place, because I want to be in their midst. But guess where he got the stuff from? Guess where they got the stuff from? Well, he already gave them in Egypt. He didn't tell them go scavenge for stuff or go loot people for it. It was a part of what he had already given them, and things that they would still acquisition, the territories and the property and the land and the treasuries and all of this of other nations that he had dispossessed. I'm giving you what you need.
All you have to do is be in the right position to receive what I'm giving you so that you can do the things that I'm calling you to do. You're not looking for provision. You already possess provision.
Abraham believed God. God said, sacrifice your son. And so Abraham told his kid, hey, let's get some wood. And they started walking up the mountain, right? Mm-hmm. When they got to the area where the sacrifice was going to take place, the kid looked at his dad and said, where's the sacrifice? And then what did he looked at his kid right in his face and told him, look,
God will provide.
God himself will provide.
Himself, absolutely.
Right. Remember what happened? Remember what happened? Jesus, which was the true Israelite, the only true Israelite, Yeshua, mm-hmm. the Christ, Jesus, okay? He was the only one that was able to eat every word that proceeded out of his father's mouth. Because, you mm-hmm. know why? Because, look at Adam. God told Adam exactly everything. And then what did Adam do? He listened to his wife. What was
ate from another tree.
What was her problem? She listened. She broke she broke the covenant. Remember? And so it caused Adam to break covenant with God because God says you weren't listening to me. You were listening to her. And that's where this all starts, baby. And I was thinking, okay, God, so we need to eat your word. And he goes,
yes, that's right.
When I'm talking to you,
eat life.
God knows when he's teaching us. He knows that when we speak to him, we're not going to speak like goo goo gag 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 gag. When he's like, stop acting like that. You can talk now, you know, and you talk to him. It's a covenant relationship. And how do you eat from the Spirit is not with your mouth. Remember what the Lord's Prayer says. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread.
We talk about daily bread.
That's not like a loaf of bread you put in your mouth. That's spiritual teachings that the Father teaches because of his presence in your life. He has to be responsible. God doesn't teach his children conflicting lessons like our earthly parents do. That's not what God does. God teaches his children the truth and love so they have something to stand on, which is the true rock, not the fake
rock. That's right.
Jesus Christ is the rock.
Absolutely, he is the rock. He was the example. That's what being the rock was about. He's the foundation.
Yeah.
He is that thing that we can. He is that one that we can depend on, that we look to identify what's the example of how I'm supposed to do this. I used to call him the prototype. My big brother's the prototype. He was the prototype. He's the prototype. He said, "This is how you do this. Watch me." You know, usually your big brother. Supposed to be the person that shows you the right thing to do. Of course, in life, you know, that didn't normally happen that way all the time, practically or, you know, in reality or physically. But from this perspective, he was the one that showed us the way. Adam was supposed to be. Adam refused to do it that way. So the Father had to send a son that would exemplify all of the things that he placed in all of his sons over time to show us the full embodiment of how we're supposed to function.
Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. It says, "I'll put enmity." He's talking to the woman. Satan. I'm going to put enmity between your seed, and her seed. And her seed was the prophecy. That's a prophecy of when Christ came down. Christ had to come down from heaven. Heaven was above Jerusalem back in that time. Heaven was above Jerusalem, and that's where Christ came down. And what Christ did, he had to set aside his glory. So the Father had more glory, and so Christ came down. That means he became a servant. He put that white robe around his waist, and he's going to demonstrate, right? Came down and demonstrated how much he valued Israel. It was Israel he was talking. It was, when God's speaking about Israel, you weren't there. Don't make people think that God's talking to us, because then you're the adversary of the truth. You can't tell people the truth without them having a cow.
Right. They have their sacred cows are real. Sacred cows are real. Now that's funny, because this morning when I woke up, one of the things that was in my head was, even if you don't eat the cow, you're gonna have to learn how to milk it, because the milk is good for more than one thing.
You're funny.
Even if you don't eat cow, that's fine. But you better learn how to milk it. Okay? You better learn how to milk the cow.
You know, it's funny though, man. There's a lot of good things that we can learn. Like, if you ever owned a home, and that's a cow
it
that's
is.
Worth money. It's worth money.
Better learn how to milk it.
Three or four cows, they produce milk, right? So you can live your life and do some things, right?
Nothing wrong with
being able to generate an income, a healthy income, so that you can provide
that's
for your future.
That's necessary.
And who is in the future? Our children are in the future. Children
that's
are
right.
our future. So we want to invest,
right.
and God is investing in lives, and lives matter. Listen, I woke up today, I'm alive. So I celebrate life every day.
Yeah.
What if I don't wake up tomorrow in my flesh? What if God says, well, now no one can see you like me?
Yeah.
I said,
but
I'd be like, God, that's amazing. How'd you do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So someday it's going to be like that. But right now I have this flesh body and God's demonstrating something. And I'm thinking, God, you are showing off, aren't you?
He's amazing. He's amazing.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely amazing. Woo. Wow. My God. Anybody else want to share? Because we didn't turn the broadcast into our conversation this morning. I met my new brother. So we're trying to catch up. We are trying to catch up.
Amen. Come on, call in.
Yeah. They're all good. There's a lot of people here already. They're here. But listen, so we're going to go back into this conversation about the dark psychology of the 10 spies. They just couldn't wrap their head around what the Father was doing. You know, they didn't want to wrap their head around it. They had another agenda. Let's talk about that for a minute, the agenda. You know, when we're talking about how many times you've been doing things based on your own understanding. That's an agenda. You know, the Father has an agenda. He's already declared an agenda concerning you because he knows the end from the beginning, right? Same thing with these Hebrew children. He's like, okay, I'm taking you from Egypt, not just to have you wandering, but I'm bringing you from that captivity to put you in this place of covenant, okay? And so on the way to this covenanted place, I am making covenant with you. But if you're not able to receive, this is one of the reasons why that first batch didn't make it, because they were not able to receive his word. Think about it. He's at Mount Sinai. The mountain is on the smoke. It's one of my favorite verses, favorite sections of scripture. The mountain is on the smoke. It's shaking. There are lightnings and thunders, and the Bible says that they hear the lightning. Now, if you understand basic things, we usually see lightning. We don't hear it. So this says to me that every part of their senses is engaged. They're tasting things. They're sensing all kinds of things that they've never sensed before, and now they're afraid. Instead of welcoming the relationship, instead of welcoming this place that they're in, now they're fearful, and they want to separate themselves. And so this is often what's happening with people. This is why it's an inclination to lean to your own understanding, because you're comfortable with what you understand, but not comfortable with what you don't. And the truth of the matter is you'll never know what you don't know until you know what you don't know. But the thing that you don't know is what you need to know to get to the place that you don't know about. You understand what I'm saying? And so he's expanding your understanding. Your understanding is being expanded so that your identity can be known. You know, with the master, we talked about this the other day, he couldn't do many mighty works in the place that he was from because of the familiarity. So the Father had to expand, you know, his place. He had to expand. He had to give him another, he gave him an assignment, but it was for another environment because the environment that he was in was not going to allow him. Because they objected or opposed, because they were too familiar, they would not allow him to be who he was, right? So he had to leave that environment to go into environments where he could express all of who he was. Yes, he was the absolute glory of Yah, just like we are, right, in the earth. We are that. This is why he's saying, listen, I moved out of the way so you can express yourself as a son. I'm the firstborn of many sons. You are part of that many. Now it's time for you to express this glory that the Father has put in you. You are carrying an unshakable kingdom. You know, if you are a son of Yah, you are carrying within you, according to the word, an unshakable kingdom. That kingdom has a culture. It has a covenant. It has a king. It has an expression. It has a way, you know. And this is the thing that the Father is desirous for the sons, to go out into all the world and to begin to teach this way. But one of the things is, it's not just about you talking, it's about your walk, okay? It's not just the talk, but it's the walk. So that means there's some fruit that has to come of you. And so if we get engaged in this position of, oh, it's just go out into the world and teach. Teaching is more than just talking. Teaching is the things that come of you. You know, it could be your writing. It could be your work. You know, the master was a carpenter, right? But Paul was a tent maker, all of these things. It could be the work that you do. It could be the writings. It could be a number of different, it could be your relationship, right? All of these things are teachers. All of these things speak to people. How you function, it speaks to people. You know, I was thinking about how simple it is to be in an environment and somebody be like, you're different. That's a speak. We're living epistles. Something different about you. I'm not saying anything to them. I'm just doing my thing. I'm just functioning in the environment, you know, going to get my groceries, or I'm, you know, in the Uber or the Lyft, and I'm moving from one place to the next, and I just got in and said, hey, how are you today? And it's like, you're not everybody else, that's for sure, because this ain't the climate for, hey, how are you? The basic things that you do just give yourself away. They just give you away. They cause you to identify with your brothers and your sisters. You know, you're able to tap in. You're able to identify one another because there's a certain way that the kingdom functions. And because there's a certain functioning of the kingdom, a certain governmental way of doing things, then those that are in the government function under that government, and they function by that government. They function that way. They're not functioning that way to be that. They are functioning that way from that. Okay? The way that we function as sons is from a place, not to be a thing, not to get to a place, but because we are in a place already. Okay? And so this is the thing that the Hebrew children couldn't wrap their heads around. And so they were easily led by the conversations of these princes. And when I think of these princes, I told you guys the other day, it made me think of principalities. This is a perfect example of what a principality functions as. This is a perfect example of how a principality functions, what it looks like, what it does. Each of these leaders of those 10 different tribes that had the evil report functioned as a principality over those tribes because their word was over the tribe, right? Their negative connotation of what the Father had spoken was over those tribes, was over the tribe, okay? And in being over them, that the principality sets the standard, it sets the tone, it sets the culture, it establishes a mindset, an ideology, it establishes all these things for the people to follow. It's an impression, it is an influence, okay? It's an influencer, and so that's the adversary. He's the prince of the power of the air, of the airwaves, right? He's not the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the airwaves. He's the prince. He's the prince. He sits in a particular place, and his power is to influence the communication, you know, what's being said, where it's going, all of those things. And so we have to be very mindful of this because in our journey, we can look over our life and identify the fact that we've been led in some directions based on the words that we've heard, based on things that we've heard that were not aligning themselves with what the Father said, but they did align themselves with how we felt. Okay? So this is why how you're feeling matters less than what you know. You know, when you know the words of Yah, when he's spoken to you, then regardless of how you feel in the moment, you'll be able to function in a divine way and from a divine place because you're holding to the words that he spoke and not to your feelings. When we look at the master in the garden, we can see this example. He's hungry and he's thirsty. And now he's being dealt with in his heart and his mind about positioning himself in the earth. There's an attempt to influence him in a way, right? But because he's hid the word, as Prophet Vantina said, because that word is in him, that's the place that he's functioning from. So regardless of this hunger pain that I'm feeling, regardless of this thirst that I'm feeling, I know that there's a word, and that's the bread that I live by before I live by any other bread. He's the one that said, man shall not live by bread alone, right? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yah, every word that comes from my Father, that's how I live first. And if I make that the first bread, if I make that the first drink, if I make all of that, that's what the whole sacrifice of the master was about. You know, the cup was about the responsibility. The bread was about the thing that filled us, right? So there's a filling and there's a responsibility. There's something that I'm consuming, and I got a responsibility for that consumption. That's what the cup and the bread was all about. You know, of course, religion has turned it into something completely different, and so we're disconnected from the idea or the concept of what was written because it's now just communion, you know, and you got to be worthy of it and all of this. And don't get me wrong, you don't want to approach things and you're dirty, but when you're approaching a thing, it should reveal to you that you're unclean, and then that way you're identifying, you know what? I'm turning from the thing that I was doing, and I'm turning to what you're saying because your word is right. Your word is true. Your law is perfect, you know. And the way I'm doing things has not been perfect, because if it was perfect, then I would have perfect outcomes from those things. The beauty of that is that he promised to make everything work together for our good. Thinking about this yesterday, and as I was praying and having conversation with the Father, every power play of darkness becomes a platform for the sons in this season. You know, everything that darkness is thinking that it's doing against us is actually for us, because they work for us. Darkness works for us because we love the Father. All things work together for our good. So even when the enemy is hurling things at us or trying to assault us in some way, we're going to take that thing that's being thrown at us and turn it into, it's going to be turned into something completely different. It's going to become a benefit to us. I was thinking about something the other day, and it just really blessed me that, you know, sometimes people are trying to set up roadblocks or set up traps for you. The enemy's watching, you know, these I call them tracers, trackers, and ear hustlers in the spirit. You know, these spirits are watching, and they're trying to identify how to get in, how to breach, you know, where a breach is or whatever. And so they're trying to establish a thing. And so even in that attempt to establish a thing, what they don't understand is that when you're a son, you can identify and you can discern things as they're happening. The Father will give you a heads up. He will give you identification on things. And when he gives you that identification, he'll let you know whether you're going to pursue, right? Remember David, he said, Father, shall I pursue? They were plundered. Their wives, their children were taken. All their stuff was taken and their city was burned. And these men were vexed. They were crying. Everybody was crying till they had no more breath in them. But David pulled himself together in that moment. He had to, because these men were thinking of stoning him. These are the people that he trained. They were mighty men now. He trained these people. They got so much from him. But when they got to a place where they were going through, they didn't understand it. Just the same way that we've been brought through everything else, we'll be brought through this. They were vexed to the point that they couldn't even breathe. They were crying so hard. But David had to separate himself in a moment. He had to identify his place and his space with his Father and say, what am I supposed to do about this? Okay, I've cried till I can't cry anymore. Well, what now am I supposed to do? Where is this enemy, and shall I pursue? And the Father said, you not only will pursue, you will recover. You're gonna take all. You're going to recover all. Pursue, overtake, and you're going to recover all. I just feel, you know, that movement in my spirit this morning, that the Father's saying, there are many things that I've pulled you away from, a lot of things that I've called you away from, but in this hour, and I've said it before, but this is the way I'm saying it now, you're going to have some battles, but these battles are not meant for you to run from. There's something inside of the battle. It's like that honey that's in the lion's jaw. You understand what I'm saying? In the carcass of the animal, in the carcass of the lion, there was honey. It's something inside of this place that you think is treacherous that has now been, disengaged, you know. It's been disengaged. There's no more life in that thing. You're going to reach in and find the honey in the hard place, you know. You're not going to run from things in this season. You're going to run to it in this season, and you're going to reach in to pull out the honey in this situation. I was thinking about something just the other day, and yesterday was really upon me, and I was thinking about this process and these transactions. It was something that was going on with some transactions in my life, and I was identifying with it, and I was saying, I really discern that this is this. And the Holy Spirit didn't deny it, but what he said to me was, there's honey in that transaction. There's something in it. You don't need to run from this transaction, because the greater one lives inside of you. You're going to go into this thing, and you're going to extract the honey that you need to extract from it. Whatever it is that you need to get out of that, you're going to get it. Now, there may be some ambushments against you. There may be a thought to come against you, but it was something that was said that triggered something in me. And the thing was, you're amazed. It was a word or a line or a phrase. It was something about stay the way you are. And what I heard when the person said it was, I knew that I felt like they were on assignment, right? But even they, because I remember the Holy Spirit saying, I'll make your enemies your allies in this season. Even they were like, I can't come against that. And made me think of Balaam, the prophet, the false prophet, where he was like, you know what, I can't curse what Yah has blessed. I'm not able to do that. You know, I've been given what to do, and I can't go there, not with this one, not here. I can't do that. So you need to have that kind of confidence in the season that even if you're being sent into a place where there's some unfamiliar territory, or there may even be some things of darkness, that you're going to reach into the carcass of that lion that's been killed. It's dead now. It's dead to you. You're going to reach in the carcass and get the honey. You're going to reach into the carcass and get the honey. Don't be afraid of that circumstance or that situation. Don't be in that position where you're like, oh, well, that's this, and, you know, this is that. And I'm not saying it purposefully, the dynamics of it, because I don't want it to I want to make sure that I'm giving the right understanding so that people don't get the wrong impression that have had a conversation with me, right? So we just got to be mindful of what's speaking to us. Because who's talking to you matters. I was going into a situation just a week or so ago, and I heard the voice of something, and I immediately went to a place. Now, I'm not saying that the place that I went wasn't accurate, but it wasn't truth for the moment. Let me say that. There's a difference between facts and truth. The fact is that this may be what you sensed it was. But the truth is the Father's saying, don't go the other way. Go into it, because there's something in it that you've got to retrieve. Does that make sense to you? The facts would say to me, well, go away from that, right, because that's this. But the truth says, we see it. That is what it is. But I'm going to give you another perspective of it for now, because you're not ready to handle the truth of this. Until I get you in it, you won't get it. So now that I'm in it, I get it, okay? I'm gathering the intel. I'm getting the information that's being given to me. I'm understanding it. And the Father's saying, I couldn't tell you that. I couldn't let you stand on that as the truth of this matter. It was a fact, but it's not truth. But I'm turning this thing, and you're going to reach into the carcass of this lion, and you're going to get the honey. You're not going to walk away from these seasons of your life without the spoils. We've been talking about that for some years now. There are spoils when you go to war. Some things you're going to have to fight for. Some things you just have to show up. But regardless of that, you're not going to leave the places that you're going into in this season without the spoils. So don't just, you know, go in and dispossess things and just leave everything. Unless the Father says leave it there, you don't leave it. You collect the spoils. You collect the spoils of this season. I'm going to open a line. Israel couldn't collect. They couldn't collect. They could not get what was being given to them. They received the manna. They received the deliverance from captivity. They received water from rocks. They walked through dry land. They could not receive. All of those were just leading up to, all of those magnificent things were simply leading up to this grand finale, which was a land that was promised to them, that was flowing with milk and honey. That just means that everything that they needed was there, which is what makes me think it was the garden again. That's a whole nother conversation, though, because the Father's always trying to take us to a place, you know, where sufficiency is. He's trying to get us in our head and in our hearts to understand that there's all sufficiency in who he is in us. And we're not really looking for something outside of us. Everything about who we are in the kingdom is an inside job. It's an inside job. It's not an outside job. The outside is just the manifestation of what's happening in us, okay? So we're going to get back to these spies. We are. I'm going to open up the line. It was 9:34. I want you guys to be able to share some more before we get out of here today. I pray that you were blessed. I'm absolutely blessed by all the things that have transpired today. And it's good to know that my brothers and my sisters are hearing us in different places from all over the world. They're hearing us. They're hearing us. And they are identifying with what Father is doing in this season. That just blesses me. The line is open. You guys are muted on your end, not on mine. So go ahead and share. Answer to prayer. answer to prayer. I love just being in contact, in connection to those that are of the kingdom. That just blesses me. Every day I'm here connected to you guys. I'm blessed by that. And to hear other people being connected to that, it just blesses me. It blesses me. Thank you, brother, for coming on today. And there were quite a few people on today, quite a bit of people on today. Still quite a few of you left here. I don't know if you have anything you want to share, anything you want to say. It's 9:35. And if you're not talking, I'm done talking. I want to walk this thing out today. I want to just bask in this moment, you know, personally, bask in the moment because the Father's doing great things and he is answering prayer. He said, I'm going to connect the sons. I'm like, I don't know how you're going to do it, but he said he's going to connect us. He's going to connect the sons, you know. He's going to connect us, so I'm excited about that. I am excited. The lines are open. If you don't have anything to share, at least let me know that so we're not just here. We're empty.
Well,
yes. Okay.
Good morning again. I want to thank God for our big our other brother that just connected and shared.
Yeah.
Because even I'm one of them people that a while ago I wouldn't open my mouth to say anything. And it's such a blessing to hear how God is using and what he's doing through others as well as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you, young man, for opening up your mouth and speaking. And encourage anybody else that's on the line, even if it's 2, 3 words, 1 word, you know, it means so much to others because it might be something that they need for that day, that moment to get them through. So
yeah,
I just encourage you because it was a time, as I said, that, you know, I used to hear things, but I used to feel, well, I don't know how to say it, you know. I'm not so educated like I hear some others talk. But I just thank God for removing those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just, when it give me something to say, I open up my mouth and say it. And
yeah.
And I believe when I do, it's something that helps somebody. You know,
yeah.
Even if they online live, the fact that you can go back on this site,
the recording,
and listen to what's been said. Because even I myself, I can be here and I'll still go back and listen again. And it's just like reading the Bible. Like if you read something once, you go back again, you're going to get something else from it. He always gives you more.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in his word. So I thank God for an honor and Apostle, I honor you and all others that came on the line.
Blessings, Elder. I honor you as well. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? Let me know your hearts and minds are clear. Don't just sit there looking at me. Don't just stand there staring at me. Say something. Hallelujah.
I'm all clear.
You all clear,
I'm enjoying
prophet.
Everything
awesome.
That I heard. Yes, I enjoy you all today.
Amen. Likewise. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. All right. Well, I love y'all. I'm going to get off of here this morning. I'm excited about what the Father's doing. I love when he gives us those little glimpses of things that we prayed about. It just blesses me. So I'm going to go and just kind of bask in that and pray and encourage you to do the same, to bask in that, because when he's showing you things, that's just a reminder. It's the same way that he did with the Hebrew children. I'm the one. Remember, I'm the one that brought you out. Remember, I'm the one that told you to write the prayer thing. Those prayer points, that was me talking to you, okay? No, that was me talking. And now I'm showing you different little pieces of things that I told you to give back to me, and now I'm manifesting that for you because you're being diligent to do the thing that I've commanded you to do. Remember, I thought the time was supposed to change, but it was the platform. So I just went with what the Father was doing and what he was saying. And had we not transferred to this place, we would not have had that experience. You know, it's all about being in the right place at the right time, you know, for the Father to reveal himself, to reveal his glory. I just love him. Listen, we'll be here in the morning. What's today? It's Thursday. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. We'll be here in the morning reading through Torah. And I pray that you'll be here with us. And we'll be getting back to the dark psychology sometime next week. I'm sensing that sometime next week we'll go back in that direction, because I believe a foundation has been laid here that we could understand some of our responsibility in these situations. It was Israel, the Hebrew children's responsibility, to begin to identify. Yes, there are leaders, but you got to identify who you're listening to. Got to identify it, you know. And when you've got opposing conversations, that's the responsibility as well. You need to identify where's the fact and where's the fiction here? Where's the truth and where is the deception? Notice I didn't say the lie. Where's the truth and where's the deception? Why did I say deception instead of lie? Because the lie has so much truth in it. That's why you could be deceived if you're not the righteous, you know, if you're not the elect. That's why being elect is important, and getting to that place of election is important. But election, getting to election, is the fact that you are answering a call. When you answer a call and you are called out, then that election is sure. When your election is sure, then that's the elect being deployed, being activated. There's no way you're going to be deceived. No way. But there are always opposing views, and you're going to have to make a decision. What view is the right view, and what view is the view that's going to take you in the wrong direction? So love you guys so much. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. I speak peace to your house this morning. As you go on your journey today, remember the daily bread. Remember what you ate here this morning. Begin to use that like the cow uses it. Let it come up every now and then and chew on it a little bit more. Let it come up every now and then. And don't forget to milk the cow. If you don't eat it, milk it today. You're going to need to learn how to milk that cow. I believe that prophetic word that went forth today about us reaching into the carcass of the lion and getting the honey, reaching into that place where it looked like something had strength, with the Father saying, I've taken the strength out of it. Now you're just going to reach in and you're going to get what is needful. I believe that that is this moment. So be very mindful of what you're running from. You probably should be running to it. You got to identify what you should be leaving and what you should be going into, knowing that wherever the Father is leading you, there's treasure there. There's treasure there. I love you guys. Peace to your house. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace. Love y'all.
Peace. Love you.